are starting a new series, and I know you have no idea what it would be, but we sang a song, or sung a song, or sang a twang. I don't know what you want to call it, but we did that just a little bit ago, and we talked about exactly what this series is. You ready? Here it is. Stronger. Everybody say stronger. Come on, doesn't that just sound awesome? Stronger. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, listen, in this series, I pray that you will come for the next 4 weeks, because I promise you, this series, we're going to teach you and show you how to strengthen your faith, watch God do big things in your life, because I believe with all my heart, God wants you stronger. God wants you stronger. And this message probably transform your life. I know you hear that every week, but this message right here, this could transform your life, because God wants you stronger. God wants you stronger. Well, listen, I don't know about you, but when it comes to Easter, I want you to know that it is probably, in my opinion, the greatest holiday of the entire year. You know, whenever I think about holidays, how many of you know what the greatest holiday celebrated is? Christmas. How many of you know what the next greatest holiday is? Honestly, not from a world standpoint, but from the church's standpoint. Anybody know what the next greatest holiday is? Believe it or not, after Christmas, honestly, is actually Good Friday. Or Thursday, whatever, Monday, Thursday, whatever you want to call it. But the truth of the matter is, the day that Jesus died on the cross. That's the next most important holiday. All right, that you and I should know about. And then obviously the one that we are celebrating this weekend is Easter. Come on, how many of you are here for Easter? How many of you are here, you don't know why, you're just getting along with your spouse? All right, well, we are glad you're here, because I believe with all my heart, you need to hear the Easter message. I mean, I don't know about you, but whenever you think about Easter, Easter kind of has a bad rap, especially when you compare it to Christmas. Christmas, everybody loves Christmas because everybody exchanges gifts. Who would love that? Everybody loves that, right? Easter, you get bunnies that lay eggs. Oh, yeah, that's a revelation. Bunnies don't lay eggs, y'all. I don't know how we got there, but anyway, nevertheless, I was like 40 years old before I realized somebody jacked up that thing. But anyway, listen, the truth of the matter is, though, Easter is absolutely the most awesome holiday I believe that we can celebrate, because it is all about what Jesus did. Now, I don't know if you know what Jesus did, and I pray that through the next hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, 3.5 hours, I can lay out for you. Some of you think I'm kidding. I'm hoping I can lay out for you what I believe with all my heart Jesus did. Because he did a phenomenal thing, y'all. He did an absolutely phenomenal thing. And if you'll begin to identify yourself with it, I promise you, it can't help but change your life. I mean, it can't help but change your life. When you truly hear the Easter message and what really it all entailed, I promise you, it will absolutely transform your life from the inside out. Some of you came here tonight and you think Easter truly is all about getting to heaven. You think about, well, the Easter message, you know, Jesus died so we could go to heaven. That's as simple as it is. Oh, my goodness. Actually, the Bible doesn't really teach that it's just about getting you to heaven. It's far, far greater than that. And I know we sing songs a lot that reinforce those things. You know, when we all get to heaven, what a day. I'm terrible. I know. You may not recognize it, but yeah. All right, how about this one? I fly away, oh, real. Yeah, y'all know that one, right? How about this one? I'm on the highway to heaven. Y'all don't know that one? It's by JCJC. Oh, anyway. No, here's the truth. When it comes to the Easter message, it is far bigger than just getting you to heaven. It is sincerely wrapped up in two questions. And through the entire message, I'm going to give you those two questions, all right? So if you got your Bible, that's fine. If not, watch up here on the screen. But here's the backdrop of the story. In Genesis chapter 1, we know that in the beginning, God had created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And God created or reestablished everything. Genesis 1. Genesis 2, we find God creates man and woman, puts them in the garden called Eden. Come on, called what? Eden. Eden, put him in the Garden of Eden, and he said, of every tree you can freely eat, but there's one tree that you shouldn't touch, and that is the tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil. Don't touch that. For in the day that you eat that tree, you shall surely die. Listen to it. On that day that you eat, you shall surely die. Now, how many of you know we are not in the Garden of Eden any longer? All right? Which tells me they ate. They ate, man fell. When man fell, it's very interesting that the conversation that God has with Adam and Eve in the garden is really interesting. So we're going to pick it up there, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. It's going to read something like this in your Bible. It's going to say this, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, they did what? Hid themselves. Now, I don't know if your kids have ever played hide and go seek. I don't know how that worked, but I know at my house we used to play hide and go seek. I believe hide and go seek was the first game that mankind ever played with God. Hide and go seek. And it's very interesting because Adam and Eve had the same mentality that my kids had whenever I played hide and go seek with them. And here is the mentality. If my eyes can't see you, you can't see me. So my kids would hide their head behind the couch. And their bottom would be sticking out of the backside. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? And my kids would get so impatient. If you just wait long enough, I'd go, I don't know where they're at. We're over here. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? That's the way it was at my house, man. And because you know, they just couldn't stand it. And I believe with all my heart, I knew where they were. I knew where they were the whole time. I'd honestly just walk around just to annoy them. So here we are. Well, let me just tell you this. Adam and Eve were the worst hiders on the planet. They sewed fig leaves around themselves and tried to hide. You got to get that later. But they were walking in the cool of the day and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. It's kind of like your kids trying to hide themselves from you. You know where they're at, right? Okay, listen. And it says, from the presence of the Lord among the trees in the garden. Watch this. And then the Lord said and called to Adam and he said what? Where are you? Can I assure you of this? God knew exactly where they were. God knew exactly where they were. This question was not about, Adam, I don't know where you're at. This question was about, Adam, have you realized where you're at? Do you realize what happened to you? You took of that tree, you've now died, and you're spiritually separated from me. Do you realize where you're at? If not, Adam, you need to ask the question, where am I? Well, I'm going to tell you tonight, I believe this is the most powerful question you can ask yourself right here tonight. Where are you? Where are you with God? Where are you in your relationship with God? Say, Pastor, I don't know. If you don't know, that's called lost. I'm a dude. Here's the truth. That's one of the most powerful questions you can ask. Where am I? Where am I? Where am I with my relationship with God? Where am I with my relationship with what the Lord would have me do? Where am I? Here's the reality. Only you know the answer to that. Now, by the end of the service tonight, I'm going to give you an opportunity to get this right and get where you need to be, because God knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly where you're at. The question is, do you know where you're at? Because he knows where you're at. And he wants you to take notice tonight of where you're at so that you and him could be at the same place at the same time tonight. How many of you believe that? I believe that with all my heart, for sure. Listen, here's the truth. The truth of the matter, Jesus came to do several things. And I don't know about you, but in my mind, there are three things that stick out just above everything else. Now listen, because it's Easter, I want to make sure the Easter message is all in this message. Because I think so many times Easter is sold so short because oftentimes it's presented as, hey, Jesus died to get you to heaven. Can I tell you today? He died for way more than that. Heaven is only a tip of the iceberg of what God has for you. Because here's the reality. What good is if you live a life of a miserable life and then you get to go to heaven? What good is that? I believe with all my heart, God wants you to experience heaven on earth. Of course there's trials. Of course there's tribulation. Of course there's hard times. But in the midst of that, God can get you through it, praise God. And God will walk with you through it. And not only that, in the end, after you've lived an overcoming life, you get to go to heaven. And that's your reward for it. But the truth of the matter is, it don't start with the message of you get to go to heaven. That's the reward of living a life that is worthy of God. Y'all hearing what I'm saying tonight? So what did Jesus do? Here's what he did. Number one, John 3:8. If you're taking notes, write this one down for sure. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested or made known to us that he might what? Destroy the works of the... Come on, Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. That's the number one reason Jesus came, to destroy the enemy, not to just get you to heaven, but to destroy the works of the enemy over my life, over your life, and over each and every person's life on this planet. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. And that did not start at the cross. You have to realize that everything Jesus did while he was on this planet, he was doing it to destroy the works of the enemy. He lived for 33 and a half years, but that last week, and even more important, what he went through is what defeated the enemy. What defeated the enemy? Say, Pastor Charlie, what did he do and when did it start? Here's when it started. It started in the Garden of Gethsemane. Most of you have probably never even heard of what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane, but the Bible says that Jesus went into the garden and he began to sweat drops of blood. Can I tell you, that is an agonizing thing. What was actually happening during that time is that his mind was actually realizing and taking on the sin of the world. His mind was, not his body at this point, and not his spirit at this point, his mind. His mind was being infiltrated with doubt, unbelief, fear, depression. All these things are just being thrown at him because he is now becoming the sinful sacrifice. He was sinless, but our sin went on him, and he died for our sins. He was taking on, in the Garden of Gethsemane, that yoke upon himself. And then we know that the next thing that happened, that's in Matthew chapter 26. We know that in John 19, the Bible tells us, then they took him, they whipped him, they beat him, they scourged him, they ripped sinew and flesh off of him. 39 times they beat him with a whip. They ripped his body apart to where it actually, the Bible says, he actually was completely deformed and didn't even look like a man. Completely deformed. Why? Because listen, it's one thing for us to deal with sin and death in our minds, but it's another for us to deal with sin and death in our flesh. Jesus, his body, was suffering the penalty of sin in his body, in his flesh. You know, most of us don't even connect that to Easter. Most of us just think Jesus died on a cross. I'm here to tell you, he suffered mentally in the Garden of Gethsemane, but then his body was going through all that it was going through so that you would know he paid for your sin in his body. His body took it on. See, but it didn't stop there. Look at this verse right here. The Bible tells us in Matthew 27 this, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice. This right here was the ultimate. He said this, saying, Eli, Eli, that is. That's not tongues, y'all. It's not tongue. All right. Anyway, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That's pretty close. And okay. Anyway, that is, here's what I want you to hear. My God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, let me just set the backdrop and tell you what's going on here, all right? This is the only reference we have of Jesus saying, my God. There's a reason. Every other time in the Bible where Jesus is talking to God the Father, he says, my Father. My Father. You probably know the verses. He would say, my Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was on the cross. There was another time where he says, Father, do this so that they can see and believe. Father, do this. Father, be with me. Father, help me. Father, guide me. Father, empower me. Father, do these things. But now we reach a point right here where Jesus is on the cross and he doesn't cry out and say, Father, Father. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? What's going on? I tell you what's going on. His mind in the Garden of Gethsemane was taking on sinful, the mindset of sin. His body had been beaten and bruised. Why? So that sin would be in his body. And get this, now on the cross, he is a sinful sacrifice. Our sin is on his spirit now, deep inside of him. And now what is going on is God is literally turning his face away from Jesus because he is a sinful man now. He is not that Jesus is sinful, but he now is taking on sin. And because he was taking on the sin of the world, the Father could no longer look at him because he is holy and Jesus now has become sin. He's the sinful offering. He's sinless, but he's taking on our sin. See, the power of death had gripped his mind. The power of death had gripped his body. The power of death now, spiritual death is separation from God. Now the spirit of death has now clung to him. And the Bible tells us Satan thought he had beat him. Satan thought, I'm going to use death and I'm going to take everything out of the Son of God. Satan knew if I can beat him in the garden, I'll get his body. Satan knew if I get his body, I can put him on a cross. Satan knew if I kill him on a cross, the Son of God is done. He forgot. He forgot some of what Jesus said. He forgot what Jesus was doing. See, because get this, we deserved the death that Jesus had. We deserved it. But Jesus came as a sinless man, offered himself up, watch this, and because the devil crucified a sinless man, Jesus became the sin offering, thereby breaking the power of death and sin over our lives. That's the Easter message. And listen, it gets better because here's what you begin to realize. When you realize his mind was tormented so that my mind could be at peace, so that I don't have to struggle with fear, depression, doubt, and confusion. Jesus paid all that so I don't have to suffer with that. The Bible tells us that his body was broken so that my body could be healed. Isaiah 53 tells us he was bruised for our transgression, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Our body is healed, and we can claim healing over our vessel at any point in time in our life because Jesus suffered and paid for our sin, which was, what is sin in the body? Death. Death. And then we got the situation of sin in the spirit, spiritual sin, what Adam and Eve had. Separation from God. Jesus paid for our separation from God so that we can walk each and every day of our lives knowing that, hey, listen, if I believe that Jesus died, then God is for me. If I believe that Jesus died on the cross, then God is with me. If I believe that Jesus died, God lives in me, for greater is he who's in me than he who is in the world. If I believe Jesus died, I know that God's on my side, praise God, each and every time in my life. Amen. Amen. That's what Jesus paid for. That's what he did. So many say, oh, it's just about going to heaven. No, it's about all that he went through, paying all the sin of the world so that we could walk in a redeemed life. He came to defeat the devil. He came to defeat the devil in every mark. Look at this. I love this verse right here. John 10, 18 says this. No one takes my life. This is talking about his life. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to what? Take it up again, praise God. The devil forgot to read John chapter 10, verse 18. Because Jesus promised he could take it up. For I have power to take it up again. This commandment I've received from my Father. My Father told me, you go down there and you live a sinless life. Sin and death have no power over you. And because it has no power over you, you can lay down your life for the sheep and you can resurrect yourself for the sheep. That's exactly what Jesus did. Understand this. God does not wink at our sin. He has to punish our sin. Jesus took our punishment so that God could be our God and we could have a relationship with him today. Man, that's awesome. awesome. So now you don't have to worry about being sinless. You just have to believe on the sinless sacrifice that was given to you 2,000 years ago, praise God, so that your body could be free, your mind could be free, because the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives on the inside of you, man. Come on, isn't that awesome? Man, I believe that with all my heart, all my heart. I love this right here. The thief does not come except to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant Life Church. What a great name. I'm just saying. Abundant Life Church. A-B. You can't get in front of me in the phone book either. But I'm just saying, unless you're AA church, that would be weird. All right? But listen, here's the truth. You ready for this? I have come that you might have what? Life. 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 Whenever you read that, I want you to listen to this. That word life there is not exist. I know that's how we think of it. We think of it as God has come that you might exist. No, no. The word life there is this word right here. It's in the Greek, it's zoe. And it means life free from the penalty of sin. That's how God wants you to live. God wants you to accept Jesus as your sacrifice so that you could walk knowing God walks with me and treats me as if I am sin free. Not because I'm sin free, but because the sin offering was given so I could walk free from my sin. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? That's called grace. This is amazing grace. Oh, anyway, I'm back. Look, I have come that you might have life. Now, let's translate it. I have come that you might have redeemed life from the penalty of sin. That's what God wants you to have, that you may have it more abundantly. The abundant life is knowing that God has forgiven me and he washes me clean and I can walk free from that and have a relationship with God each and every day of my life. That God's not angry or mad at me, especially if my phone goes off. I had to give him a hard time. But listen, here's the truth. God wants you to know that he came that you not just exist, but you have free from the penalty of sin life. How many of you are glad about that? How does that work in your mind? Here's what it should do. You should never question, well, God allowed me to get in a car wreck because he's angry at me. No, no. Jesus came so that you could have redeemed life, so that you could have Zoe life, free from the penalty of sin life. You should not walk around with a condemned mentality, but with a confident mentality in the sacrifice he gave. Religion condemns you. Jesus frees you from condemnation, praise God. Oh, Pastor Charlie, that's just too good. I know. I know. I love it. You ought to get saved. Listen to this. Jesus said, Acts chapter 2 says this, but God raised him up, releasing him and bringing an end to the agony of death. What is mental torment? Mental death. What is physical sickness? Limited death. If you allow that limited to take over, it'll kill you. What is spiritual death? Separation from God. Jesus came to destroy all three forms of death. In the end, the agony of death. Since it was impossible for him to be held by death's power. It's like a Rocky movie. It's like, y'all, Adrian, I love you. Y'all know what I'm saying? Come on, how many of you love Rocky? Everybody else leave. I don't know why y'all are here, man. Rocky, I know, Star Wars is the second, but I know, boo. All right, whatever. Listen, Rocky is the greatest trilogy and series ever. I know they all go the same, but listen, I get excited every time. In our house, we always, I don't care if it's on TBS, the History Channel, whatever. We get it. Anyway, the Rocky. And I love it because you remember how Rocky was like, you know, remember when he fought Apollo Creed and Mickey, you remember Mickey the trainer? I know it all by word for word, y'all. Hey, listen, Mickey's like, what are you doing, Rocky? What are you doing? He goes, I'm winning. And he's like, You know, and everything in the movie is like, he's getting beat up. He's like, come on, come on. And he's like, oh, he's getting it, you know. And everybody's like, well, you know, he's turning it around. And he's punching. I believe with all my heart, that's what Jesus did with death. Jesus said, come on now. Hey, Jesus said, come on, death. Come on, death. Come on, come get me. Why? Jesus was saying, come on, death. Come get me. Come get me. I don't want you getting them. Come get me. Bring me everything you got, because I'm going to defeat you in every step that you take. Come get me. Come get me. Come get me. See, and whenever you think about the cross, let me just tell you, whenever nations go in and conquer another nation, they go in and they drive up that flag. They drive up that flag and they raise it up high and they say, we have won this battle. I believe with all my heart that the cross is the victory flag that we stand under. Because Jesus got up on that cross, he nailed himself to it, and he says, if you ever want to know what I've done to the enemy, just look up at the cross, because I defeated death, hell, and the grave on that cross, and guess what? I'm not there anymore, because I beat it 2,000 years ago, praise God. I beat it. He beat it. Death has lost its power over us. Death has lost its power. So even for the believer now today, if I die, let me assure you of this. This vessel may go into the dirt, but I'm alive and well. I promise you that. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Because death can't hold its power on the children of God anymore. Amen? Amen. I believe that with all my heart. Look at this. John 16 or 14 says this. Jesus said to them, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the what? Guess what word that is? I am the Zoe. I am the Zoe. I am the redeemed life from the penalty of sin life. That's why these verses sometimes in English doesn't make sense. It says, he who has the Son, this John 3:36. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. Well, what's that mean? He who doesn't have the Son doesn't see life. No. Let me translate it. John 3:36. He who has the Son has Zoe, redeemed life, free from the penalty of sin life. Free from God's judgment, God's wrath. Free from it. I can walk free each and every day. Well, Pastor, do you ever miss it? Oh, yeah, in the parking lot at Walmart, and sometimes I sin. But I'm telling you, God has washed me free, praise God. Listen, y'all struggle with it too? All right, I'm in good company. But here's the truth. Here's the truth. You ready? I'm free from the penalty of sin because I have a relationship with him because I recognize the sacrifice. I recognize the sacrifice that he paid. It's called grace. It's called the free, unmerited favor of God. I didn't do anything to deserve it. I just believed on him who sacrificed himself. And because of that, it's freed me from it. Isn't that good? I am the way, the truth, and the life. He who has the Son has life, redeemed life, free from the penalty of sin life. How did I get it? I believed on his sacrifice. And that life came into my being. And it's in me. Watch this. The life that Adam lost is what Jesus gave us back. What Adam did by taking of the fruit, he killed us all. But what Jesus did brought new life, Zoe, redeemed life on the inside of us all. When we accept it, we have it. And I tell you, it's awesome. It's the only way to live. It's actually, get this, it was the way you were meant to live. It's the way you were meant to live. See, you weren't meant to live with mental torment. You weren't meant to live with your body being sick all the time. You weren't meant to live separated from God all your life and for eternity. You wasn't meant to live that way. You were meant to live this life. And listen to what Jesus said. I am the, he is the way. Oh, well, I just think politically correct, you know, that seems awful exclusive. Okay, Buddha didn't pay the way. Muhammad didn't pay the way. You can't find nobody else willing to lay down their life for anybody else, praise God. Jesus was the only sinless man that came and was willing to suffer all the sins of humanity and then resurrect himself, praise God. So I believe God and Jesus have the right to claim the only way to God. Well, that just seems awful hard. Well, that's just not what I said. God said it. I am the way. I am the truth. Truth. And I am the life. Yeah. No one goes to the Father except by me. Why? He's the only one that paid the sacrifice. You have to pay the fee to get there. I know. Pastor Charlie, all planes are leaving. They'll all ultimately end up in the same destination. Is that true about the Indianapolis airport? No, honey. All roads don't end in the same place, y'all. They don't. Here's the deal. Jesus paid the fee for you to ride the right plane going to the right place, praise God. Well, I got to get all cleaned up first. No, do you need to do that? If the fee is paid, you can show up however. Just don't carry a gun. They'll put you in jail. But, or a bomb. Bad. But here's the truth. Here's the truth. Jesus paid the price for you to ride the plane. And the only plane going to heaven is the one that Jesus paid the way for. Say, it doesn't sound right. It is right. Jesus said it. It's true. It's true. He is the way, the truth, truth. He's the truth, praise God. And that's the truth. Look at this right here. And Jesus, I gotta go here. Look at this. Jesus said to her, this is talking about Lazarus being resurrected. Jesus had a buddy named Lazarus. He had died. Mary and Martha came and got Jesus. And in the middle of that, they have this conversation. And in the middle of this conversation, I believe is one of the most profound questions of the Bible. You remember the first question I asked you tonight was what? Where are you? And then I've told you about three things that God actually has done. Well, actually two, well, three. How many of you know Jesus defeated the enemy? How many of you know Jesus came to give you Zoe life? How many of you know Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. The three things I want you to know, the Easter message is to me is this. The devil is defeated over your life. Number two, God came so you could have Zoe life, redeemed life. Number three, so that God could restore a relationship with you and the Father. Say, why is that so important? Why? Because of this right here. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the... What word do you think that is? Come on, that's the Zoe life. Zoe, I was actually this week had to do a funeral for a young man, and his daughter, her name was Zoe. Zoe. Listen, he who believes in me, though he may what? Die, yet shall he what? He live. Yeah, absolutely. Why? Because the Zoe life of God is on the inside of him. Amen? Look at this. He who lives and believes in me shall never what? Die. Just like Jesus. Jesus gave us his life. You couldn't kill Jesus. Jesus had to lay his life down. You can't kill you. You live forever somewhere. Do you believe this? Do you believe? Look, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? The four most powerful words of the New Testament, I believe. Do you believe this? I went to Bon Air. One, two, three. Do you believe? They're not big words. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe Jesus sacrificed his life for you? Do you believe that the devil is defeated over your life? Do you believe that God came to restore a relationship with you and the Father? If you can believe this, that is the key to Easter. That is the key to everything. Because that's why Jesus hung on a cross. Not just to get you to heaven. What a low, low standard we have set on the Easter message. It's not just about getting you to heaven. What good is living a life of hell on earth and then going to heaven? Jesus came and put his spirit in you so that you could live a life on earth empowered by God, so that you can live out this life in a good way, Zoe life, and then the reward of that life is getting to go to heaven. That's an awesome life, praise God. Amen? Do you believe this? Yeah. Look at this next part. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into this world. If you can believe that, you can believe what he did, I tell you, it'll change your life. it'll absolutely transform it. So here's what I believe with all my heart. You ready? Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. How many of y'all believe that? I believe he came to wipe it out, man. He took all of death, all of hell, all the grave, everything to the grave, defeated it after 3.5 days. Death was like, oh, let me go. Jesus said, no. Until he was done, death wasn't done, praise God. So that you may have new life on the inside of you and have a restored relationship with the Father. Now the question is, do you believe that? If you believe that, it should change your life. It should change your life. You don't have to walk around depressed. You don't have to walk around defeated. You know you got the Zoe of God on the inside of you, the life of God, and God has a relationship with you. You don't have to walk around condemned or beat down. You know you can have a relationship with God. If you don't have a relationship with God, I want to ask you two things. Where are you? And do you believe this? And if you'll answer both of those, I believe you can have a relationship with God. Yeah, I know where I'm at. And yeah, I believe Jesus died and rose from the dead. If you believe that, it'll change your life. God will start a work on the inside of you that will absolutely transform you.